the J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Hi, I need to speak to J.C. I've been trying to talk to him since before the election.
Yeah, he's a big pain in the butt. What, can I just give him a message?
Just tell him I think he's an arrogant jackass. I'll tell you the reason why.
All right, just so you know, by the way, he drives me crazy, too. I hate him.
Well, he made the comment that he said, who do these religious people think they are, you know, when they were going to vote against the stem cell? Who do they think they are? And I thought, you know, what an arrogant jackass.
Right. I agree. He's always doing stuff like that.
And who are you? Are you J.C.?
Yeah.
I figured you might be.
Are you an electrician?
You hang up. Big dummy.
I know I'm speaking for the entire platoon when I say this run should be postponed until this platoon is better rested.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know that JC is out there running his mouth. Let me read you a comment that he left to someone. Hello, Beth, you Nazi cow.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu.
First day of autumn. Well, actually, it's not the first day. Look, I got to correct myself 3 seconds into the podcast. How you doing, kids? Jeez. And autumn arrives. I think it's like 2 o'clock. 2:20 this afternoon. Is that right? 2:20, 2:21, whatever it takes. 72 for the high today, 48 overnight. By the way, people are already asking about the peak season for the fall colors, and here it is. It's still 3 weeks away. Now, that doesn't mean you won't start to see some trees changing the colors, but if you're talking about the actual peak time, you do the Great River Road or something like that, the peak season begins in about 3 weeks. Just think mid-October to early November is the peak season, and it's affected by so many different things. How much... This is incredible, and Dave Murray told us this years ago. How much rain we get in the spring oftentimes has a dramatic effect on the degree of fall colors that we get in autumn. So, you know, there's a lot of variables, but if you've never taken that Great River Road up and then go to Paramaquette State Park, then you're really missing something, because it really is cool. And just drive through that park, and the colors are just stunning, absolutely stunning. Now, here's the problem. There's a lot of people, way too many people, as far as I'm concerned, who will say to you that fall is their favorite season, okay? As a matter of fact, yeah, here it is. 33% of people said summer is their favorite season, followed by 22% who said spring, fall, 19%. But I think those numbers are completely off. Everybody I talk to, because I've been complaining about fall for a long time, okay? Only 7% of people say they like winter best. 18% say they don't know or don't have a favorite season. And there were big differences among age groups. Gen Z preferred winter, 23%, to spring's 9%. And if you're over the age of 65, everything is the opposite. You love spring. And winter is down 2%. And maybe that's why people just reach a certain age and they go, this is bullshit. I've had it with this cold weather. I'm going south. And that's how you end up in Florida. And the thing about it is, I love snowstorms. Oh, my God. I love any kind of storm. You know, tornadoes, electric, you know, lightning, all that sort of stuff. I love that stuff. Okay. I love snowstorms, the anticipation, you know, where maybe 4 or 5 days earlier, they're like, and we're watching this system spinning out of the rocky. You know, you hear those comments from the weather guys. And then it's like, we're keeping an eye on this. And then all of a sudden, so you get up and they go, well, we have a winter storm watch coming up. this weekend. And we don't. Okay, so if you're not paying attention, this is on in the background. This is hypothetical, okay? JC said it's going to snow this weekend. So, you get that winter storm watch and then the warning, and then they start taking a stab at the at the snow totals. And that's where it gets really, really fun. And then, of course, JC opens the Schnucks panic aisle, and off to the races we go. And then finally, it doesn't snow at all. Or we get a light dusting, and then everybody's disappointed and somewhat pissed off. But on those rare occasions when the forecast is right, and then all of a sudden, you know, the skies start getting gray, and you start feeling, you can almost smell, I can smell snow. I can smell it coming. And then it starts, you know, very lightly, and the next thing you know, you look outside, oh, the ground's covered, and you start calling people, and you start putting pictures up on social media, and then you get up the next morning, and there it is, you know, like 7 inches just sort of sitting there. And that's the point at which I don't like snow anymore. I like the anticipation of the storm, the excitement. I like watching the snowfall. And then after that, you can have it. I don't like being outside all bundled up when it's 25 degrees, shoveling snow, snot just shooting out of your face. Forget it. Forget it. But those people who are, I just love fall. It's my favorite season. And it's like, okay, let me just tell you something. Remember that really, really pretty sort of glow that grandma had right before she passed away? That's what fall is. Fall is tricking your brain. It's like, oh my gosh, it's beautiful. Look at this. I've never seen anything so beautiful. Look at these fall colors. And that is tricking your brain into thinking this is something good, but everything is dying. And plus, I also associate fall with having to go back to school, the end of summer, the pools closing, all that sort of stuff. So there's just absolutely no goddamn good that comes out of the fall season, because then it's followed by winter. And we have brutal springs in the Midwest. You know, you're sitting there and it's June 1st and it's still only 58 degrees out. And you're like, come on. That's the time of year that I really despise in the Midwest. That thing from about, you know, March to about Memorial Day. You know, it won't warm up. It's not cold enough for snow. It's just no damn good. You know, it's too early for, you know, the grass to turn green, especially the zoysia, which is always the last thing to turn green. But we have pretty springs, obviously, and then the azaleas come out and all that. But to have to go through 6 months of this brutality of the ice and cold and snow and just the cold, cold nothing, gray sky bullshit, forget it. Anyhow, it's the first day of all of this, so enjoy. And you know the other thing that's no good about fall? It's the end of baseball. Now, how can that be a good thing? Oh, yeah. I mean, October playoff baseball is great when the Cardinals make it. And if they don't completely collapse here in the next 10 days, they better be careful, too. They got to go, you got the Cubs they got to play twice here. And everybody is sort of drunk right now with baseball because the Cardinals have now won 10 in a row. That hasn't happened since, I think it's 2001, which was an interesting era for Cardinal baseball, because that's when Rick Ankiel had his meltdown. I was at that game. I was sitting in the press box and watching that and going, what in the world is going on? If you remember that one particular game. Now, he had a couple of games where he had really sort of got the yips and lost complete control of things. But it was that one game, and maybe it wasn't a good idea to take a kid who was, 19 or 20 at the time and throw him into a playoff environment. It might have just been too much. But it was after that season, 2001, you know, you have all those banquets in the off season, the Knights of the Cauliflower Ear and the Missouri Athletic Club and all this, all those big, long, boring rubber chicken circuit awards and banquet shows that they have in the off season. And that's when Jack Buck went up to the podium and said, I asked Rick Ankiel for some autographed balls. I didn't expect him to throw them to me in the booth. Pretty good, Jack. Pretty good. Pretty good. So I thought I would play this for you today because this goes back to opening day. Back to opening day. This was sometime in the 2000s. I don't exactly recall. I want to say it was maybe 2003, somewhere in there. And one of the other reasons I want to play this today, as the baseball season, you know, starts to conclude here, is a notation that, you know, we're going to be losing Mike Shannon. And not only is losing Mike Shannon a bad thing, but less Mike or no Mike Shannon, no Mike Shannon means more Rick Horton. And there's another thing that's no good about fall this year, but you're going to hear Mike Shannon, on this thing. It's pretty much self-explanatory. Let's go back about, I don't know, 16, 17 years. Jen Sparks, Laurie Mack, John the U-Man, and JC in the studio the day after opening day.
I even like that theme song from Quantum Leap. That was a good song there. So anyhow, Scott Bakula, you see him. If you see him running around town today, you know, that looks like Scott Bakula. It's him. He's back in town. And why they missed out an opportunity to have a guy who is from St. Louis and who
knows
how to sing. And instead, you get this biatch yesterday there.
A native of Wausau, Wisconsin, this crossover country artist recently moved to St. Louis to continue her performing and recording career.
See, right there, it doesn't even make sense. She's from Wausau, Wisconsin. She's moving to St. Louis.
Wisconsin, and she's a country singer.
Yeah, the hub of the music industry. Music City, St. Louis, Missouri. Mm-hmm. Makes no sense from the
beginning. Well, maybe she's saving up money. She'll stay here a year, and then she'll move to Kentucky.
She's eventually moving south.
Eventually,
right.
She'll get to Nashville.
Right. Mike Shannon goes, please welcome this woman. She's from Wausau, Wisconsin, and she only had enough bus fare to get to St. Louis on her way to Nashville. Please welcome.
She's going
to
sing God Bless America for us today. Please welcome Carrie Beth Foster.
Never heard of her. Nope. People are looking around at each other going, huh? Who?
Are you supposed to sing? Yeah. Is that you?
Who's that? Second line, she's in trouble. Second line.
God bless America.
Okay, let me ingest a six pack and crack cocaine. I go to bed. Mm-hmm. I'm laying in bed. You awaken me at 3:30 in the morning.
Don't allow you to urinate.
Stick a microphone in my face and say, "Sing God Bless America,"
or at least say the second line.
Land that I love.
Land of the free.
Sorry.
Next.
Not even close.
Stand beside her.
That's right.
And guide her.
Good job. 3 out of 4.
Through the night with the light from above.
Free and above, now rhyme.
From the mountain to the prairie.
Oh, she's doing great. She'll be fine.
Somebody, whose niece or cousin or aunt is this down at the ballpark?
Well, that's all right sometimes.
To the ocean.
Now, when you think of an ocean, you think of seaweed, but that's not really a romantic sort of thought that you would put in a song. Jellyfish. You wouldn't use that in a song.
Shark attack.
But you would think of the waves hitting the coast,
beautiful,
hitting the rocks, and producing that sort of foamy look.
Uh-huh.
The ocean's white with foam. That's the song. The ocean's white with foam.
Wild and free.
At first she sounds like she's saying la, la, la. Wild, when she starts wild, sounds like la, la, I don't know the next
one. Maybe she sings better on an E sound than an O sound.
The ocean's
so she just changed it.
Wild and free. Well, you know what? She doesn't sound good singing anything. Okay? I'm not a singer.
Think what would have happened if she'd sung foam.
Sounds like one of the people that would kick off of American Idol, you know, and before they actually get
off, they wouldn't even put them on the show in the first place.
You know, like the first couple of episodes of each American Idol where they're not even in the theater yet. They're just like in a hotel room and people are singing in the lobby. And Simon goes, "You suck. You absolutely blow." You know?
My home, sweet home.
It's not easy to sing down there a cappella, you know.
Yeah.
Now, it sounds like her voice is going to go out. She's been singing for a minute and 20 seconds.
Laurie can't even listen in her headphones anymore.
Laurie's taking her headphones off.
Hurting her.
Here we go. Here's the big finish.
My home, sweet home.
Everybody's kind of like, okay.
Talk about shock and awe.
That was great.
The second line, God bless America. Heart. What did she even say? Land of the Free?
Land of the Free, I think.
Land of the Free. I tell you what, I mean, you laugh, but I'd rather have this. No?
Oh,
I'd
no.
I'd rather have this. Bring Mike Ditka, the former coach of the Chicago Bears, out to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Love
anything.
It. A one.
Yeah.
And a two.
Woo.
And a three. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Bobby's happy that they drank your jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. I will run them for the whole game. They don't win it to say. One, two,
every word. Thank you, Lori.
And he didn't waste time.
Every word correct, you know.
In, up, fixed, out.
The best part of that is the organist trying to keep up with it, man. It's hilarious.
It reminds me of that scene from Reefer Madness where the guy's playing the piano, you know. Even you know, Dennis Franz, you know, on Mother's Day would be better.
Brunch for Harry and for all you mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day.
I'm telling you, that's one of the great traditions that have developed there at Wrigley Field. Having other people sing that every day is just fabulous.
Yeah. Or as Lori said, at least get close to it.
You know? Yeah.
At least get close to it. Oh, brother.
Wow.
We try to help. Sometimes people just like it broken.
That's next opening guess. Day, the four of us.
Yep.
Singing.
The four freshmen.
Ooh, yeah.
What do you think?
What do you think?
We could do some little dance moves.
How about I introduce the three of you?
Yeah. At least I know the damn words.
Oh, and one more sport. That's very funny. One more sports note here. The first trailer for the Kurt Warner movie has been released, and it's all over the internet. You should be able to find it. And frankly, the name of the movie, I forget what the name of the movie is. American Underdog. Now, a couple of things about this. It's a tremendous story. I remember having Mike Lupica, who was, you know, on ESPN, New York Times, I believe it was, you know, really, really big shot New York City sports writer. And I said to him, you know, this was in the late 90s. I said, what do you think is the bigger deal, the bigger story in sports right now? The Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa thing, particularly as it applies to McGwire, or the Kurt Warner story? He goes, it's not even a contest. It's not even the Kurt Warner thing is the most, one of the most amazing sports stories we've ever covered. Guys, quite a few years advanced when you compare it to, you know, rookies coming into the league and trying to get a job as quarterback of a team. You're from a small school. You weren't drafted. You've been with two NFL teams, including Green Bay. You keep getting cut. And as you will hear in the audio from this trailer, you should be able to figure a couple of these things out. First of all, you got the actor playing Kurt Warner. You've got Anna Paquin, the chick from True Blood, walking around with her shirt off all the time, playing Brenda Warner. I don't know who the actor is playing Martz, but man, Martz really, really takes a beating in this movie from what I can tell. And again, it's just the trailer. And then you got Dennis Quaid playing Dick Vermeil. And Martz really does come off as a prick from what I can tell here. Just listen to the audio from the trailer.
You wanted to see me, sir.
Sit down, Kurt.
Thank you, Coach. I prefer to stand.
All right. Go ahead, then. Tell me.
Tell you what.
Why a team worth $800 million, one of the most complex offenses ever built, should put you in the driver's seat. You're too old to be a rookie, too green to be a pro. So why in the world would I give you this shot?
All my life, I've defined myself through sports. I've always come up empty.
Coach, I can win for you.
You need to start thinking about life after football, son.
We gave you that chance. We're letting you go. I was meant for something. Something more.
You think you could be that guy?
Yeah, I do.
What are you doing here?
I wasn't ready for it. But I am now.
You defied all odds.
I've waited for it. I've bled for it. I know who I am. And I know why I'm here. If you give me a chance.
Green went down hard and is not getting up.
I will not let you down.
Special about you, son. Destiny. Gods of the underdogs. You want to prove that?
Now, again, this is a great story, but it always depends on the screenplay and the actors and the directors. In this case, this is a duo that directs faith-based movies. So it's like, okay, are you making a story about Kurt Warner? If you're going to do that, his faith, his religion, and also Brenda Warner with all that stuff too, is a major part of the story. Major part of the story. But it isn't the only story, and it shouldn't be the focus of the story. And my humble opinion here as a film critic for the last almost 40 years now, and when you see that little term there, you know, faith-based directors, you know, it's a giant red flag. So I don't really know what to expect. Are these guys going to try to go mainstream, figuring, hey, look, we can do something much more than just a religious movie here. We've got a great story. We can make a great movie. So there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of variables, and I don't know what the movie is going to end up looking like. I won't be able to see it until sometime in December because it opens on Christmas Day. So let's just sort of see what happens here. I will tell you about my one and only encounter with Mike Martz. This is only one. They used to have a media day. I think it was every either Tuesday or Wednesday. You'd go out to Rams Park and you would watch a little bit of the practice. And then you would go into the locker room. And the guys would hide in the shower because they didn't really want to do interviews. And a couple of guys would always talk to you, stuff like that. And Martz lived in an ivory tower down there. And all I will tell you is on one of these particular days, I was going down a hallway on the way out of the building, and I opened a door, and it was one of those things where you open the door, and clearly the person on the other side of the door was just reaching for it also, and you have that sort of little awkward moment. And in this particular case, that guy on the other side of the door was Mike Martz, and he gave me this look, like, who the fuck do you think you are to be here and to make eye contact with me? So, you know, I won't cry if Mike Martz ends up looking like a dick in this movie, whether it's any good or not. And it's like my friend Sean Boleyn said, the name of the movie should probably be Brenda's Revenge. So we'll see how the whole thing shakes out. Speaking of movies, I told you yesterday I was trying to get to the screening of The Many Saints of Newark, the prequel to The Sopranos thing that's going to be opening October 1st, I think it is, and I wasn't able to make it. I had a conflict yesterday evening, and so I ended up missing the screening. Maybe they will have another one because it doesn't open for another 10 days, so maybe I'll still get another shot at it. My apologies. I just was not able to make this work last night, and man, did I want to see it. I really wanted to see it. Maybe they should make a movie about the book the new memoir from Elvira, the Mistress of the Dark, who also, you may know her as Cassandra Peterson. This woman was a Vegas showgirl at like 18 years old and encountered, shall we say, Tom Jones. We believe, according to the story, and this is in the memoir, I've been telling this story for years, and people are like, JC, how the hell would you even know that? Were you there? Did you inspect the woman's vagina, for heaven's sakes? Why you tell stories like this that you can't prove? Okay, well, it turns out now it is in the memoir, and that is that she lost her virginity to Tom Jones, okay, when she was a Vegas showgirl, and, as the story goes, ended up in the emergency room with an injury because Tom Jones was so well endowed. She has confirmed that story. And if you're Tom Jones, you're probably thinking pretty good things about yourself right now. And in the new memoir, she said that she was sexually assaulted by Wilt Chamberlain, the guy who says he slept with 20,000 women. She says, and here's the quote, when a 7-foot-1, 300-pound man has his hand wrapped around your neck, there's really not a lot you can do. He forced her to give him oral sex, according to this whole thing. But on top of all of that, it turns out she swings both ways. She's been romantically involved with a woman for the last 19 years. You don't have to worry about your cooter getting ripped up if you're with a woman, right? Makes perfect sense. And people forget, in the mid-80s, she was the biker chick near the end of the movie Pee-wee's Big Adventure. I sir, we let him go. No! He knocked down all those motorcycles, and that was her. That was Cassandra Peterson out of costume and character as Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. Daniel Craig doesn't think there should be a female James Bond. Quote, there should be simply better parts for women and actors of color. Why should a woman play James Bond when there should be a part just as good as James Bond, but for a woman, end quote. All right, got the Stones coming in a couple of days. They played their first gig without Charlie Watts on Monday night. First time in 59 years they did a show without Charlie. They dedicated the show to him. Television tonight, Survivor, 2-part 41st season premiere. And you're like, that's been on for 41 years? Yeah, they're playing around with this. They do two a year, and the show's been on for like 20 years, so you end up with season 41. CBS tonight. This is the season premiere tonight of the Wonder Years remake, 7:30. ABC stars E.J. Williams as the son of a black middle-class family in Alabama. You've also got Don Cheadle as the narrator. This has got a shot. Fourth season premiere of The Conners with John Goodman tonight also on ABC. That's at 8 o'clock. Late night, Steve Martin and Martin Short, who apparently don't go anywhere without one another these days, with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel's got Julianne Moore, Shawn Mendes, pop singer with Colbert. James Corden as Nicole Kidman, Melissa McCarthy, and Bill Gates. All right. Seth Meyers, John Kerry, and Jim Gaffigan, and Greta Thunberg on with Trevor Noah. John Waters made movies in the 60s and 70s that were so horrifyingly tasteless that got these tremendous cult followings. And he's like, well, see, I'm making movies that I can guarantee you will never end up playing on TV. Well, guess what? Some of those movies are now playing on TV. That's how much bad taste has become mainstream. Gillian Anderson has been on this show. We had a great conversation with her a couple of years back, and she got a huge nomination and a win the other night on the Emmys. Her friends congratulated her with a giant penis cake. And I've seen the picture, and it was, let's just say, super detailed and not safe for work. From Collinsville, Illinois, Michael Stipe says REM will never reunite. And Geddy Lee from Rush going to release an epic length, those are his words, epic length memoir. And that's going to be coming out next fall. Birthdays today. Oh, my God. Jumanji, Cars, Jerry Maguire. One of my personal favorites, Return to Me, with Carol O'Connor in a role that should have gotten him an Oscar nomination. Bonnie Hunt from the South Side of Chicago turns 60 today. Scott Baio, 61. Joan Jett, 63. Andrea Bocelli, is 63 today. Debbie Boone, She Lit Up Your Life. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what she did with that song. 65. David Coverdale from Deep Purple and Whitesnake. These days, when he says, "Here I go again," it's to the bathroom. He's 70. Good morning, everybody. And Tony Basil from Hey Mickey, You're So Fine. She still got it at 78. Friends debuted on NBC, ran for 10 seasons, went on the air 27 years ago today in 1994. They gave it that coveted post-Super Bowl position, and everybody was watching it. And in those first couple of years, women were asking for the haircut that Jennifer Aniston had. In 1969, on this date, that would be 52 years ago today, the great Willie Mays, home run number 600 against the San Diego Padres. He ended his career with 660 legit home runs. And this is the time of year where a lot of the airlines are trying to get you booked for holiday travel. And a couple of the airlines are really forking over pretty good deals. At least they appear like good deals until you start adding all the extras in. But anyhow, so BuzzFeed conducted a quiz to find out from people common flying habits. They ended up getting over 100,000 responses. So you can compare yourself to all those other people on the airplane with you. Are your flying habits normal or sort of out of bounds? Which is the best seat? 70% said the window seat. 29% went with the aisle. 1% picked the middle seat. So out of 100,000 responses, that's 3,000 people who said, "Oh, yeah, I want that middle seat." The correct answer, by the way, is the aisle, which is easier. Just to carry on, or just a checked bag. 63% chose the carry-on. 37% said they'd rather check it so they don't have to lug it around. Which is the best airplane snack? 45% said cookies. 41% pretzels. 14% peanuts. Although those are rare on planes now because of allergies. Do you recline your seat? 45% said no because it's rude to the person behind you. 43% said yes, but only if they're trying to sleep. 12% said yep, all the time. Do you use the onboard bathroom? 68% yes. 32% said no. What do you do if you have to go? Which seat do the armrests belong to? And here we go now. 37% said they both belong to the middle seat. 34% said one goes to the middle and one of the end seats gets two, which is a fight waiting to happen, by the way. 26% said whoever gets there first. And 3% said both belong to the end seats. The middle gets nothing. And a new stat says one out of every three people in the state of Texas is obese. One in every three. Hey, forget the Alamo. Try to remember to eat a salad. And with that, we say bye-bye for Wednesday, the 22nd of September, 2021, here at jcontheline.com. Please continue to spread the word. Let everybody know that we are here. It's absolutely free. 7 o'clock is when we post Monday through Friday. If you miss a podcast, everything is archived here. We're also available on lots of different platforms. Our email address is jc@jcontheline.com. On Facebook, you can follow me, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Everett Marshall is our creative genius, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow morning right here. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.